How to look like $1 million for under $200. So whether a man has made his fortune or not, he desires others to see him as confident, trustworthy, and professional. We live in a world of perception, and although our outward appearance is not nearly as important as our inner character, men are best served when they dress sharply. Fortunately, it doesn't cost a fortune to look great. If you pay attention to the details and are willing to spend a bit more time putting your wardrobe together, you can look and build an outfit that's going to look, it may look like a $2,000 outfit, but at the end of the day, you spent less than $200. Okay, but before we get started, let me warn you what not to do. Do not purchase clothing simply because it's on sale. I see this as a very big mistake, and I've made it myself. I remember there was this orange vest. It was made by Nautica, and I was really stuck with the Nautica brand. I just loved it for some reason. And this was a time when I was really maybe looking at labels a bit more, and I remember seeing this vest on sale. And it was like 85, 90% off. It just drew me in. And the funny thing is that vest was too large. And here I am, a young 20-something year old man, thinking that I'm going to maybe somehow grow into this. And another thing is I never wore vests. So I bought a piece of gear that not only was it too big, it was something that I rarely ever wore. And what happened? I wore it probably one time. And even though it was 85% off, I still paid around $25 for it. So I ended up getting this piece of gear. I wasted $25 and I wasn't even confident when I was wearing it. And that was a complete loss. And it almost, at the end of the day, it made me look kind of foolish. So don't fall into the sale. At the end of the day, you want to know what you need, identify it, and go get it. And yes, sometimes it won't be on sale. But if you have a need for it, is it worth you watching that and continuously coming back and waiting and losing 6 months to save $10? Those are the questions you'll have to ask yourself. But oftentimes I find that if it's good enough and it's a good deal when you see it, go ahead and get it and then just wear it and don't worry about the price dropping anymore. So let's talk about thrift stores and garage sales. Secondhand clothing has long been a source of inexpensive outfits, with many of us being the third recipient of worn-out hand-me-downs. I know I had an older brother, and it was something in our family that going to Goodwill or going to the Salvation Army and doing the shopping for the kids, well, it was pretty common, or getting people that had given us clothing. And, it's interesting. I remember actually going to garage sales and finding toys, and this is one of my favorite toys was the Millennium Falcon. Any of you guys Star Wars fans out there, this was a toy that we picked up at a garage sale, and it was missing a lot of parts, but at the end of the day, it didn't really matter because it was new to me and I loved it, and it was something that had bought new, I would never have gotten it. But because we picked it up for like a dollar at a garage sale, all of a sudden it was a great deal, and I had a lot of awesome flights and battles with that used Millennium Falcon. The same thing with secondhand clothing is you're giving second life to something that maybe even for the original owner, it's just something that they either fell out of love with or perhaps they just stopped needing it. Oftentimes, another thing with a lot of these Goodwill stores is that they pick these things up from estate sales. So you will have, let's say, an older lawyer who passes on and he's got 20 suits that are all still great suits and they need to have something done with them. And these may be $1,500 to $2,000 suits. Now, the beauty of if you understand the basics of men's style and what is a good suit jacket, how to identify one, you can sometimes go into these thrift stores and find these $1,500 suits for $15. And that's an amazing deal, especially if it fits you properly. The downside of secondhand stores is that it takes time and work to find the gems among the vast aisles of 1970s leisure suits and ugly t-shirts. So you're going to have to travel to several shops, and oftentimes the customer service at the store is non-existent, and the only way to find the deals is to dive in and search. So people that are thrifting often have to have a bit more time, because it does take time to identify. Now, there's a trick I usually tell some of my clients, and that's to put a bounty out. And that's to leave a cart with your measurements or what exactly you're looking for with the people working there with a reward that if they can find it, you're going to pay them a little bit extra. And it works because very few people ever do anything like this. And the people that work there, they see this clothing and they're going to be able to identify it when it comes in, put it to the side or give you a call. You come in, pick it up, reward them. Hey, it's a win-win situation. Another key tip is to look at thrift stores in smaller cities or towns, because a lot of people in larger cities like New York or Chicago, they know all these tricks. And those places are getting checked over. In a sense, there's already deals been struck, so a lot of the best stuff is never even going to make it to the floor. It doesn't necessarily happen in Council Bluffs, Iowa, or down in, I don't think, Midland, Texas. I mean, you just don't see things like, people aren't really looking for that stuff there, even though there are lawyers or there are doctors that they're donating this higher-end clothing. Let's say they moved to Midland from New York, and they just find that, hey, in this environment, they don't need that clothing. That may be a gold mine for you. I'll also talk briefly about online sales and eBay. I'm not a big fan of eBay anymore. It used to be 10 years ago, you could find amazing deals on eBay. Now people have become so sophisticated on these secondhand markets that I find that it's really hard to find a great deal. Oftentimes, a good deal will be bid up, and be careful about getting caught into a bidding war, because then you're going to end up paying more for something used than you could have, you know, you could have gotten the same thing almost brand new. So be careful about that. The only places where I still see that are if you're looking for an item which has rarely ever been seen or found, and if it's marked improperly, or if there is no photograph. So perhaps you've got somebody selling on eBay who doesn't know what they're doing, and they don't put out a very poor photograph, and perhaps you can contact them and ask for another and then find out this is exactly what you need and no one's bidding on it simply because it doesn't look nice. eBay is also good for those of you that are really hard to fit. Oftentimes people aren't going to bid on an item because it's just not going to fit them. So if you're an extreme size, eBay is still an option as well. I also don't see friends and family being used as much. I think many people have this mentality that they don't like to ask or let other ones know they're looking, but I think that's a mistake. There's nothing wrong with telling your sisters, telling your brother, letting your friends know that, hey, I'm looking for ties. I've actually seen there's been a resurgence since the recession here in the United States of women getting together. It used to be that you would have moms get together and they would do clothing exchanges for their kids, but now you're seeing them get together and even do clothing exchanges for their husbands. So a little bit of interest there. You know, a tie that your neighbor may never use may be just the one you're looking for. 80% off the finest quality shoes you'll ever own. So what am I talking about here? I'm talking about recrafting. And this is a little trick that I've actually received a number of emails from men who have used this successfully. And that's when they go into thrift stores, they are looking at shoes. Because there are companies like Allen Edmonds, Alden, and a few other makers out there that they've got basically recrafting, and they will take a pair of their shoes and they will rebuild them. Now, they're not going to rebuild they're going to resole them. They're not going to work on the upper, although they will clean it and they will condition it and they'll shine them as well. But they usually don't replace the upper. What they do is they rebuild the whole sole. And this is only going to cost you $100, maybe a little bit more, depending on the company. But at the end of the day, this is a shoe that was easily $350 to $500 that you get and looks almost basically as a brand new shoe for $100. So an amazing deal, if you ask me. Something that a lot of guys, what you have to look for, though, is you have to be able to identify those worn out shoes as what company do they come from. So you're going to have to look through it, and hopefully the label, it should be there somewhere, maybe on the tongue of the shoe or within it somewhere. You can identify that as that, and it also needs to be of recent enough that they will redo it. Sometimes if the shoe is too old, perhaps it's 40 years old, they just don't have the ability, actually, they don't carry that that sole anymore. So in that case, it may have been dated out. Cut a deal. I don't see this happen very often, but you can negotiate with anybody on anything. Now, I have to admit that I'm a pretty hard negotiator. If people ever, now that I've got my company in the position that it is, whenever people ask me to negotiate on price, I always tell them, sure, I'll always accept more money. That's how I negotiate. It's a good position to be in. But no, most tailors, especially those coming out of Hong Kong or Bangkok, you could work with them. And in fact, they're always, I think, surprised that more Westerners don't negotiate with them. At the end of the day, the more you purchase from a tailor, the more he can negotiate. Because I can tell you that making that first suit and shirt for a client is expensive. In fact, oftentimes we don't make any money because we're having to spend a lot of time building the pattern, working with the client to understand exactly what he needs. And then if he only orders one piece, we don't really make any money. And if you can go to a tailor and if you can create a win-win situation where you are basically, you've looked around, you like his wares, you want to go ahead and get 3 suits, 4 suits, 10 shirts from one guy, find out what his normal cost would be, and then try to make a deal. Now, it's going to depend on your haggling ability and how much they need the business as to how low you can go. But have fun with it and realize that in life, anything is negotiable, especially if you throw things together. And this also works at department stores. You don't see it used very often, but if you could identify something's wrong with a piece of clothing, or if you're looking for something and you want to piece it together, managers often have the ability to further discount items. And, it's always worth asking. Bartering. To barter is to exchange one's services or products for another's services or products. It's the oldest form of commerce. But sometimes bartering is more effective than using money in a transaction. So you'd be surprised how many people are open to it. If I can tell you that as a business owner, if someone, I've actually bartered with people to get help on certain types of video production, with types of consulting. It's one of those things that you are willing to trade your time and services for my time and services. And if a mutual agreement can be struck, go for it. So if you've got a skill which is in demand, yet you're at a point that you're not able to necessarily charge the price, you may find that you're able to barter with it and get something that you would normally have to pay full price for, but you're able to get a discount or even it for free, in a sense, for your efforts. Choosing potential over reputation. So this applies, I use the example, it can apply to a lot of things, but I use this for choosing a tailor. So when I first started off, my prices were much lower than what they were or what they are now. And the reason I did that is I didn't know what the value of my designing and my ability was. It's one of those things, you build up confidence as you get going, you build up clientele, and all of a sudden you realize that you don't have to rely on low price anymore. But you can oftentimes find tailors who are very reasonably priced, even though their skill set is really good, but they don't have anyone talking about them. Or you go in there and you're taking a chance because they don't have any samples to show you. So look for those diamonds in the rough. And by doing that, you're oftentimes going to be able to get a great amount of work done for a very small amount of money. Now, you are taking a chance because you could give them something to have adjusted and it come back looking horrible. But, that's kind of what you pay. There's a bit of a risk there, and there are ways for you to speak with the person, to look at their work, maybe to give them a small piece and to test them. But what you can find is that you will often save a bit of money by going with someone with a lesser reputation. Finally, I'd like to point out that there are a lot of blogs out there in which this is all these people specialize in, talking about how to find deals out there on the web. Believe it or not, you can find some good clothing items at Walmart, at Target, at The Gap, and brand new, they're going to be able to fit into a good wardrobe. And, they're not going to, at the end of the day, they're not the highest quality, but they're going to get a man on a budget buy. This concludes this section on looking like $1 million for under $200.